in response to a comment that was made to me a few weeks ago about the fact that as Christians we need to grow. Last Sunday we were looking at the primacy of prayer, the first place that prayer takes in our lives as Christians. And then on Wednesday evening we were looking at the fact that God has given us fellowship where we are able to serve one another and to work with one another. And even those of us who feel that we are totally insignificant, we have a role in ministry as we serve one another and as we encourage one another and build one another up. This morning, I want us to see the centrality of the Bible and to see how important the Word of God is in the development and in our growth as Christians. And when I talk about the Bible, I am talking about the whole Bible, Old and New Testaments, and not just the New Testament. So often we can be content saying, well, the New Testament tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is all that we need to know. But no, the truth is that the Old Testament prepares the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament shows us his life. And both are important in the fact that God speaks to us through both old and new. If you've got your Bibles, it might help you to have them open at that passage that we read from Psalm 119. I want us to focus in particular on verses 9 to 16 and to see the great truth that is found here. There is a question in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer comes immediately by guarding it according to your words. But it's not just left there. It goes on, and verses 10 and 11 give us further advice, and in a way the testimony of the psalmist. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And J.C. Ryle, when he was talking about the Word of God, says this: next to praying, there is nothing so important in practical religion as Bible reading. By reading that book, we may learn what to believe, what to be, and what to do, and how to live with comfort, and how to die in peace. Happy is that man who possesses a Bible. Happier still is he who reads it. Happiest of all is he who not only reads it, but obeys it and makes it the rule of his faith and practice. And it is Ryle's advice that I want us to focus on this morning, but to focus on it through this passage of Scripture. Psalm 119, in many ways, is like Pilgrim's Progress. When Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he was writing an allegorical picture of the Christian life, and he was showing the battles that we go through. Psalm 119 is similar. If you've got your Bible in front of you, you will see that it's broken up into sections of 8 verses, and each of them has a heading: Aleph, Beth, Gimel, and so it goes on. And it's a remarkable poem. There are 22 stanzas or sections in this poem, each of them representing one of the different letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And in each section, Aleph, each of the words or the verses there, begins with the letter Aleph. And in this section that we are looking at here, verses 9 to 16, each verse begins with the Hebrew letter Beth. So we have a sermon here that is focused on the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But the important thing is that we've got a young man here responding to the truth of God's word. And I want us to begin by recognizing the problem that this young man faces, the recognition of his problem. And he asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can he count it clean? How can he make his life clean? In the NIV, it asks the question, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? So young people, this morning, Paul has already addressed you, and he spoke to you, and he said that this morning you need to be listening to what is said in the sermon. And those of us who are older, it's no good us saying, well, this is a question that is addressed to a young man. No, it is a question that is addressed to all of us, young men and older men, young women and older women. And we need to face the challenge that is being laid before us this morning. Even as believers, we have to ask the question, how do we keep our way pure? How do we live a life that is honest and good in the right, in the sight of God? Because the facts are, we all face temptations. We all face distractions. What is it that keeps us focused on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, as I say, the young man, or the man writing this poem, raises the question, but he gives us the answers. And the first answer that he gives is, by guarding it according to your word. And the point that he is making is that we are to watch over our lives in the light of Scripture. We are to live in the light and obedience of the clear teaching of Scripture. In a way, at different times in our life, we've got to be careful about introspection, particularly when it becomes morbid and we keep criticizing ourselves. But there needs to be a willingness in our lives to ask a series of questions. How am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? And that is the point that the psalmist is saying here, that we guard the way we live according to the word of God. Now, it's important that we hear this message in the light of the New Testament. I want the message this morning to have one clear message, that the word of God, the Bible, has to be our priority. But in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was called the Word of God. John opens his Gospel saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. When we read the Bible, as Jesus himself said, we are to find him in the Old Testament. As Paul was saying this morning, as the Lord Jesus Christ was growing up as a boy, he fulfilled this commitment. He kept his way pure by guarding it according to the word of God. But God's word is not simply a book. The word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who delights to show us the right way to live. And I want to say to you this morning that if you are going to live a life here on earth that is right and correct, a life that is pure, it has to be a life that is lived in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ rightly as our Saviour, but He is also our teacher. He is also our Lord. He is the one to whom we should come daily and to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Jesus came to restore our damaged relationship with God, and we are so grateful for that. He has paid the price in order that there might be reconciliation. But he also knows from his own experience that day by day, we like Adam attempted to turn away. We like Adam attempted to go our own way. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the example that although tempted, he did not yield. But he has also given us the promise that he is with us. So the question, how can a young man, how can any believer keep his way pure? Well, the answer there in verse 9, by guarding it according to your words. So the psalmist has recognized his problem. But I want us to see now the passion of his position. It is so easy to say, well, this is the right thing to do. It is important that we read the Bible. It's important that we obey the Bible. But we can do that, in a very humdrum way. But notice how the psalmist says that he is going to do it. He says, with my whole heart I seek you. So it's not going to be something that I do once a week. It's not going to be something that I do at the beginning of the day and I leave it there. No, with my whole heart, he is going to get involved in this. He is going to be committed to this. Now, we can take this phrase, I seek you, as a reference simply to saying our prayers. But it is more than that. It's this overwhelming need of an ongoing encounter with God. The word seek here is a strong word, seeking after God. And we are to seek God by reading his word, by hearing his word preached, and by applying the word in our hearts. And the psalmist is saying, I'm going to do this with my whole being. But with that passion, he's also very practical. Because notice what he says in verse 11. He says, I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And obviously here, we have a reference to how the psalmist has learnt the word of God. Now, we don't practice this as much as perhaps previous generations do, where we memorize the word of God. I have a number of friends who use the Psalms only as their hymn book in church, and I've often talked to them about this. And they've turned to me and they've actually said, well, in reality, Bernard, there's a way in which we know 150 Psalms virtually by heart. So if we go into any situation, we can think of a psalm. We can think of a passage from Scripture that will help us and that will help other people. And this is what the psalmist is saying here. I've stored up your word in my heart. I have kept it, one, that it might guide me, but two, that it might help me. When I was preparing this message, I was reminded of three or four letters that have had a particular significance in my life. I don't know why I do this, but there are a couple of them that are kept in a letter rack above my desk. And there are others that are kept in a Bible that I used to use when I was in Papua New Guinea. Now, they're well used. Having been stored in the tropics, they are yellowed. Why do I keep them? Why have I stored up these letters? And the reason I've done that is that they've had an important influence on the development of my life and on the direction of my life in ministry. One of them was a response to a request that I made. I wrote to a friend and said, how should I approach this work? And he wrote back and he gave me a good, clear, if you like, roadmap to develop my ministry. Another of these letters came when Linda and I were on home assignment. We had spent our first term in Papua New Guinea, and we had faced its challenges. And as with all home assignments, we would come home, we would review our position. And the reality is that when we went to Papua New Guinea, we had this wonderful picture of what was going to happen. But when we'd spent 5 years there and we realized what had happened, it was quite a different picture. And there was the challenge, do we go back? Should we go back? Are we ready to go back? But one of these letters came and effectively said, God has prepared the both of you to work in this particular way. I've stored up these letters because of the help that they have given me. And there are times when I'm facing challenges in life, and I will dig them out, and I will read them again. I came across one of them just recently, quite by accident, but it was an encouragement to see what had been stored up, what had been written in that context. But then the psalmist goes on, and again, dealing with his passion, verse 12, he responds to God and he says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. And what is the psalmist saying? Well, effectively, if I can use a few sayings from the English language, you're never too old to learn. Perhaps the flip side of that is some people will say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But the psalmist is saying here, Lord, I need you to keep teaching me. I need to know more about you day by day. Literally, this word teach is sometimes translated to teach. Other times it is to goad and to prod, to stir people on. Now, I often make reference, don't I, to my primary school headmaster. We were only a class, a school of three classes. But when you got to the last 2 years of school, you were in the headmaster's class. And along the front of his desk, he had a 3-foot ruler, or a yardstick, as we used to call it. On a Monday morning, that would always come off the desk, and there would be questions. He pointed you, 3 times 3, 4 sixes, and various questions. And there were times, though, that goad, that 3-foot rule was applied to the seat of learning. Now, I am grateful that it never got applied to my seat. But it was a goad, it was a prod. And we would get to school on Monday morning knowing that we had to be ready to answer those questions. And the psalmist is saying here, Lord, as old as I am, as young as I am, I need to learn. And if I can speak to the young people, do you ever get frustrated with your parents thinking, oh, you're so silly, you don't understand? And we can be like that as young people. We think that our parents just don't understand. As we get older, we realize that we don't know half of what we thought we did know. But all of us need to be open to learning. And this psalmist is passionate. He wants to learn. But I want to see now the details of his devotion. He says that he wants to keep his way pure. He knows that the Word of God is the only way that he can keep his way pure. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and a response to the teachings of Scripture. Now let's look at the way that he describes or he understands the Bible. And there's an interesting selection of descriptions that he uses here. In verse 13, he talks about the rules of your mouth. Verse 14, your testimonies. Verse 15, your precepts and your ways. Verse 16, your statutes and your word. And let's have a look at these a little bit more fully. The first description, the rules of your mouth. The Bible is not merely a book. It is not something that has simply come off the printing press. But the Bible is words spoken by God. Hebrews tells us that at former times in history, God spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Peter tells us that the prophets of old, they didn't speak simply from their own understanding, but they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. All Scripture has been breathed out by God, Paul says. And don't forget what I said earlier, that the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's final word to a broken world. A world that has lived in rebellion to him. The Lord calls us back to himself. But notice in verse 15, he talks about your ways and fix my eyes on your ways. What is the implication of this? Well, the way here is a well-trodden path. A path that has been trodden by other people. And we have always got to be careful when people come up with bright ideas and say, oh, these people, they're too set in our ways. Let's be revolutionary. Let's look at this in a different way. Why have people lived in a certain way? Why has this path become well trodden? It is because it's the path that God has laid down for us. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say to his disciples? He said to them, follow me. He wanted them to walk in the path that he had walked. And when God called his Old Testament disciples, Abraham, Moses, men like this, he said to them, go, and I will go before you. I will lead you to the place that I want to take you. The Lord has always promised that he will show us the way. But let's come back to verse 14. And there to see your testimonies. Now, testimonies are not used so much these days in Christian services. But I can remember they used to be very popular when we were younger. And what is a testimony? It is a record. It is an account. It is a description of what God has done in our lives. And here, it's not simply what God has done in the lives of people, but it's a testimony of what God has done, the way He has worked. And then we have got these strong words in verse 15 and 16. Your precepts, your statutes. In our country, we have what we call the statute book, don't we? It's probably many, many rooms full of books these days. But the statute book is the book in which the laws of our country have been written. And this is what God is saying here. I have written my laws. I have written my truth. I have given directions for the way that you should live. And friends, one of my concerns in the day and age in which we live is that people want to throw out God's statute book. No, that is the wrong way to understand things. Be liberated. Open your eyes. Open your mind. Throw away your inhibitions and live as you want to live. No, friends. God has laid down His statutes. Live like this because I teach you for your good. So we have the psalmist here giving us descriptions of his devotion. He's describing his attitude to the Word of God. But notice what he wants to do with the Word of God. Verse 13, we are told that he will declare the word. With my lips I will declare all of the rules of your mouth. And David, when he was crying to God in repentance in Psalm 51, and he asks God to renew a new heart within him, he then says, then I will teach transgressors your ways. Now, you might be here this morning, and you're hearing this teaching about the Word of God. You are hearing that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to restore the relationship with Him. But you don't want to be honest about your life. You don't want to speak about your sin, because you know that you have been a sinner. But the truly converted person, I'll say this carefully, has no problem with their sin. They have no conflict with the Bible, because the Bible shows us our sin. It tells us exactly what we're like, but it shows us a Savior for sin. It shows us the way that our sin can be dealt with. And when we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we have confessed our sins before Him, then we know that we can go out and we can tell other people that there is a way back to God through the from the dark paths of sin. There's a way that is open and all may go in. And the psalmist says that he wants to declare God's ways he wants to declare all the rules of God's mouth. But notice in verse 14, he says, I delight as much as in all riches. I will delight in your statute. Now, many people see law as a restriction. But law has been given in order that we might all live a free life. I don't know if you saw yesterday on the news that there is thought about raising the speed limit in sections of roadworks on the motorway from 50 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour. Now, Whether they choose to do that or not is not up to me. But what is important is whether it is 50 or whether it is 60. It is important that we keep that rule. If we exceed it, then we suffer the consequences and we will be penalized. If we drive at a ridiculously slow speed through places like that, then we will be a hindrance to other people. But the psalmist is saying here, I delight in your ways. I delight in your words. I want to ask you this morning, do you struggle with the Christian life? Or do you, like the psalmist, delight in God's word? If you're struggling, I want to ask, how close are you to the Lord Jesus Christ? How close are you to the word of God? The psalmist goes on and he says, I will meditate. I will take time. Now, apparently this word meditate can be translated to complain. And let me ask you, how easy do you find it to complain? The majority of us, when things go wrong, we can let the words flow. It shouldn't have been like this, it should have been like that. And out they come. And what the psalmist is saying here is, I want to give time. I want to give thought. I want to reflect on the word that it might build me up. And we're told by Isaiah that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. But again here in verse 15, notice what the psalmist says, and fix my eyes on your ways. Now the word that is translated here, fix, or fix your eyes, is the word from which we get our word scan. And as I was pondering this, I was thinking, well, when do we use the word scan most in contemporary society? And it's that wonderful picture, isn't it, that the pregnant mum brings as she has the picture of her first child. And what does that do? It brings joy. It brings delight. And the psalmist is saying here that we are to fix our eyes on God's way. Those of us who were at Little Mill recently will remember that Pete Hilde was calling us to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But finally, let me show you how the psalmist finishes this section. He says, I will not forget your word. I won't mislay it. I won't say who it was, but somebody came into church this morning and said, I've mislaid my Bible. And we can so easily do that, don't we? You may know where your Bible is, but I want to ask you, what is it hidden underneath? What is it that is keeping you away from the Bible this morning? What is it that takes priority over the written word of God and over the living word of God? You may have the phone on, so you may have the Bible on your phone this morning. But let me ask you, how often is it opened? We so easily mislay it. We so easily neglect it. Next month, we will have Remembrance Day, won't we? And that poem will be read at the cenotaph or on the Saturday evening celebration in the Albert Hall at the going down of the sun. And in the morning, we will remember. I want to ask you this morning, friends, at the going down of the sun and in the morning, do you remember? Do you remember the word of God? So as I draw this message to a close this morning, remember the big question that the psalmist puts at the beginning. How can a young man keep his way pure? God has given us all we need to grow in his own person and in the Bible. We fail to grow when other things, sometimes very important things, become more important. And we've got to be careful about what we allow to become the priorities of our personal lives, but also of our lives together as a church. Some of you this week will have been watching the Reformation films and programs on the television, and I was interested to see, I think it was on Wednesday evening, where Luther was fighting for the truth of Scripture and Reformation in a way that would be understood. There was another man who was, in effect, preaching a form of communism as a result of the Reformation. He had lost sight of the Bible. And we can so easily do that. We can lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, let us switch off things that come between us and our God. Let us do as the psalmist says here, to seek him with our whole heart. And may God indeed glorify his name through us. Amen. We're going to sing to close this morning from the supplement. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I find a place to stand and wonder at such mercy that calls me as I am. Let's rise to sing.